I'm Brenda Dennehy.
I'm Julie Haynes.
And this is Left on Red.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to Left on Red, the podcast where no topic is off limits and we get through a healthy dose of girl talk. It's like a virtual coffee date with your besties.
Spot on, Jewel. Each week we'll dive deep into a juicy topic that's bound to start discussions and fill up our DMs.
And we've got your back when it comes to recommendations. It could be makeup, movies, fashion or food. We'll fill you in what we've loved and maybe didn't love this week.
Before we wrap things up, we leave you with a motivational quote to carry with you into the week ahead. It might be nonsense, but we will try. Because let's face it, we all need a little extra boost sometimes.
Ready to go?
Let's crack on.
Hi everyone and welcome back. We are back after a very heartbreaking couple of days. For those that don't know, Brenda very unexpectedly lost her dad last Wednesday morning. So please bear with us, as I am sure this is going to be extremely hard for our Brenda. And she really wants to speak about how wonderful her father Dana was as well.
I start crying up for even start. Yeah, so it is obviously a massive shock because I'll laugh, no one to talk about the marathon, but the last episode we had done before Sabrina's one, we'd done it in London. It was leading up to the London Marathon. So my dad and mother had actually come over to the marathon and he was absolutely flying it over, like with my mum, and they were like had walked 10, 12 miles, like they were over from for Saturday, all day marathon Sunday. He actually, I met him and my mother and Sinead, my friend, the morning of the marathon, and we all went out to Blackheath, which is the start line of it. And I just remember a video of him waving me off when I was going to the start line. And I had a great day at the marathon. It was amazing and everything. And he was there at the when I was able to get my medal and all that kind of stuff, and we'd such a great day. And I just took a load of pictures with him and my mum. And the funny thing is, I've never posted my mother or father on my Instagram or anything like that because they'd probably be unlike me. They're not such like private, but they, you know, I'm the one on, and like yourself, Julie, yeah. You know. And obviously I was so proud of the two of them, especially, you know, after the podcast we did on my story. And
I and did. How proud what he was of you as well, Brenda. You know, you have to remember
he was,
that.
Yeah.
So proud of you.
And we had such a lovely day and I had posted the two of them and just saying, here's the mother and the father who never, you know, gave up with me. And, you know, we had a great day. And then on the Monday, I met them for food. I met them for food in, they were staying up near Marble Arch and I met them for food, dinner. And we had a great chat and I was telling him how I was going to do Chicago Marathon, my fifth marathon. And, you know, and they're in the year and he was like, oh, Nora, you go with her now. We go together. And do you know what's so cute about him is when they were waiting for me at the finish line, like he'd be a very fit man. He was 82, but like he even, he said to my mother, like as in, oh, Jesus, look at him there. He can barely walk and stuff like that. I think I'll do the London Marathon next year. Do you know what I mean? Because he's so fit. And like he probably would have.
But he didn't look, and he didn't act 82 either.
No, not at all. Not
I was
at
shocked
all.
When you told me he was 82. I was like, hardly.
Oh, such sound mind. And he was like, we thought, and I, like, you know, we chatted about this earlier. Like, we thought obviously there was another, I thought there would be, like, I thought he'd go on for eternity, but in reality, another 10 years at least.
I know.
But I met them on the Monday and, you know, there was the passport issues with going to Dubai. You and I were meant to go to Dubai and I was meant to leave on the 21st, the night of the marathon, and I was having issues with my passport. It was delayed and then I rescheduled the flight for the Tuesday, the 23rd. Finally got the passport. You were meeting me on Friday. And I remember ringing my mother at the airport going, I'm finally going. And she was like, brilliant. And I was getting on the Emirates flight and she was so happy. And my dad was so happy I was getting to go in, relax a little.
They were back in Cork.
They were just landed back. They were just after leaving Heathrow, landed home in Ballydesmond. I was going off to Dubai and I was going over Dubai to Abu Dhabi. My sister lives in Abu Dhabi and I was going to Abu Dhabi for 2 days and then going back to Dubai. We were meant to meet you. So I got on the flight and I 8 hour flight or so. So we're Dubai's 3 hours ahead to Ireland. And I landed and got my bag and did all my bits. And I was in a taxi on the way to Abu Dhabi. And I think I was half an hour from Abu Dhabi. And I'd fallen asleep in the back of the cab.
Yeah.
And then I had texted my mother. I texted you, say I landed safely, all good, you know, as I'd always do. And then my mother rang me, and it must have been like probably 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock their time. I didn't think that was strange for her to be ringing me, because I was, you know, I wasn't aware, oh, there's 3 hours. Because if I had been in London and she started ringing me at 6 a.m. straight away,
alarm bells would have been going
oh
off.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh my God, what's going on? But I was half asleep and I saw Nora coming up on my phone, and she was like, hi Brenda, did you land in Dubai okay? And I was like, yeah, and I was kind of sleepy, you know. And then she just said, I've some very sad news. And sure, I thought it was Winston,
the dog.
Do you know? And I just said, oh, well, I said, what? And she just said, your dad. And I was like, what? And obviously, you know yourself. Yeah. And you're like, oh my God, what? Come on, tell me, tell me. And she just said, you know, he just like, he collapsed. And straight away, I was like, and what's wrong? What's wrong? And you know, and then obviously she just said he was gone. And sure, look, what happened? I just roared. Like, I, you know, it's so weird. It's just roaring. I started to kind of go like into child mode or something, yeah, you know, calling her mommy and stuff like this. Do you know what I mean? Because I was like, what? Do you know the way you're... It's like the world was going by in the cars and the motorway. And I was like, what? And I just was screaming. And I was like, I'm, what the hell? Then I was like, oh my God, look where I am in the world. Like, was in a different continent. And I was like, what the fuck and all this? And I was like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What's going on? And I just totally, like, it was just the most bizarre out-of-body experience. I'm sure you know what it feels like. And then she was like, you'll meet Julie. Julie knows Julie, my sister. She's waiting for you. She's waiting for you. And then I think I rang her, and then I was on to you. And oh my God, it's just horrific. And then we pulled up to Julie's apartment block, and sure, she was outside waiting for me because she had just gone to work. She was at work when my mom rang her. And sure, we just embraced each other, and we were just in total devastation, shock. And I was like, then how, what am I meant to do? How are we meant to get home and all this kind of stuff, you know? So went up to our apartment, and oh, it was just the most surreal, strange feeling in the world when you're that far away from home and suddenly you're after getting that awful news. And then in the middle of it all, you know yourself, there's people text you about normal stuff.
I know.
You know, and you're like, what the fuck? Obviously, not many people knew. And Julie, luckily enough, we were to book a flight back home then, and like there was no direct flight to Ireland from Dubai to Dublin. So luckily enough, she found an Emirates flight that would have been going from Abu Dhabi to London, London to Cork. So I think that was around 11 p.m., 11 a.m. Their time. So we were booked a flight for 2 p.m. So within 3 hours, I was on the road again. So we got her boyfriend to take us to the airport. And
but can I just stop you there, because you only just literally landed in Dubai and your mom rang you as you were in the taxi on the way to your sister's house. But like, one of the first things I said to you when you rang me when you were in the taxi was like, I truly believe your dad sent you over to Dubai to get your sister, because could you imagine being out there on your own, getting that phone call and having to travel home on her own? But at least this way the two of you were together, which made it that bit, small bit easier, I think, on Julie and of course on you as well, do you know?
Yeah, and I think as well it was weird because all the flights were totally booked out, and then it was, she tried again, and then two places came available, and I walked up and down that plane, and I swear to God, there wasn't one seat. It was like there was two seats put together, and we were together again. And it was like, it was the weirdest flight of my life. It's like you couldn't concentrate on anything. You were crying, but then you didn't know the reality of it, what was coming for you at home.
Yeah.
So then we stopped in London, and like, as much as I love London, oh my God, I couldn't wait to get out of there. It's like 4.5 hours waiting. And then obviously there was the trip home to Aer Lingus, where Aer Lingus with Cork, and just one thing, you know, the way in the hardest moments of your life, there's some little kindness that you won't forget. I was after this girl I'm friends with, Jennifer, she's cabin crew for Aer Lingus, and she had texted me, you know, she'd heard the news, and then she was like, how are you getting home? And I told her. And when we got on the Aer Lingus flight, me and Julie were sitting together, and there was a man next to us, and this woman, lovely air hostess Lorraine, came up, and she was like, are you Brenda and are you Julie? And we were like, yeah. And she, of course, she said, then I'm so sorry about your dad. And sure, we were in floods of tears. And then she asked the man next to us to move so we could be privately together. Oh, and I'll never forget it. And then she came up and she was like, can I get you water? Can I get you a whiskey? And I started laughing at the whole whiskey thing. And I was like, don't give me any drink anyway. And then we were kind of laughing. But I will never forget her kindness. And then we waited to be the last two to come off the plane. And she was just there at the end. She was there with another lovely girl. So it was just that kindness on the plane. And then our friend Anne from Bally Desmond, you were going to all the bother, and it was 11:30 by the time we got in. And in fairness to you, you were going
collecting us in the airport, take us all the way to home, Ballydesmond, which is an hour from Cork City, and then you were going to drive back up home.
Like, yeah, that kind sure. of, I was I coming know. To I said to you when you were landed in Dubai and rang me, will I come out and get you? I said, I'll come out and I'll sit with you and I'll come back again, because obviously I had a flight booked as well. I was going the next day. I was like, but I'll come now, I'll get you. Do you want me to sit? I just like, what? You feel so helpless at home.
Yeah.
And I was like, what can I do to help? And I was like, will I get on a flight now and sit with you? Just, of course I'd do anything.
I know.
And because I went through it, I'm obviously a couple of steps ahead of you now, because my dad has obviously gone 3 years, and I understand the pain. And even though I knew my dad was going to die because he had cancer and, you know, he was dying for a couple of months, but that phone call, especially that your dad was in such great health and he looked unbelievable.
Unreal, that's it. Julie then actually thought it was Jake. So I thought it was Winston, my dog. And then Julie thought it was Jake that was after going. So we both thought it was the dogs, which would have been like awfully sad for us. But then when you hear it so unexpectedly that it's your dad, who was fit as a fiddle, who was wanted to go run next year's London Marathon, and would have tried if he could. So then obviously there's going home to Ballydesmond then, which was like, it's an hour from Cork Airport, as I said, and just that long drive home, like, oh my God, because my older brother Niall had come home that day, and Donal, my other brother, and just the waiting, and I thought I was never going to get home.
I know. Yeah.
I thought I was never going to get home, and then just to coming in home, and then it's just, oh God.
It hits you then.
Oh, it hits you then. And then there's just all the funeral and everything, and it is a massive shock. And as I said to you earlier, and I know, like, we can't predict how anyone goes, but I think I was felt very kind of robbed in a way, because he was so well and everything. But look, again, the man would have hated to suffer. And that is some, like, I do get some relief out of that, because he would have hated to
suffer and deteriorate as well. And I think as well, it was, there's never a nice time to go, but I was so glad he went after you celebrating your 5 years being sober and also running the London Marathon. And he was at the finish line to see you cross that finish line, which was, it was a lovely way of saying goodbye.
Yeah.
Do you know? And I just think, I just think there was all like little signs with the path. There was something wrong with your passport. Then the fact that you got out there, you just landed, you were just getting to Julie's apartment and you got the phone call. It's just little things like that. All little signs. And it's weird how the universe works, plans things for us, isn't it?
Yeah, I do believe it as well. It all kind of, it's kind of like he came to London that weekend, and they weren't meant to come to London that weekend because my mother had planned something else and she got the dates mixed up. So they actually cancelled something to make sure they come up to London, because my dad was kind of, I know we should go to London now, you know, we need to do our best now to go to the marathon, we need to go to the marathon now. And they were there, and we had such an amazing weekend. And like, I got the most beautiful video my friend Gemma took of him hugging me. And like, again, I wasn't one for putting them on social media or whatever, you know, but it, like, as well, his wish was to work him until the day he died. He would never want to retire, and he got that wish, you know, he got that wish. And yeah,
and he was jeepers, because obviously I was at the wake and I was at the funeral and stuff. My God, can I just say, he was a very loved man. That funeral, I've never in my life seen anything like it.
5 hour wake.
Like, Brent was there for 5 hours, like, just shaking
hands. I had to laugh at you then, because Julie came down to the house. You came down to the house before we went up to the rosary, and you bought a load of sandwiches and everything. You bought me shoes from Pinney's and everything.
Oh, yeah. Tights as well.
Then you came in and you were like, you met my two brothers and Julie, and you know, because they all had heard so much about you at the podcast, and you'd met my mother, whatever. But then during the wake, now, how long were you waiting outside in the queue with the, again?
Well, I sat in the car to listen to the prayers and all. I was there. I wanted you to know I'm outside. Yeah. I'm not going to be inside, like, hovering. But I'm outside if you want a break or anything. Like, I'm here. I'm, like, standing outside. So I stand outside for a while. And then I said, I better take a walk, because I kind of look like a weirdo just standing there. So I took a walk. Then I met a few of the, Alexander came down. Christine came down. My cousin Sinead. Elaine came down. So I was chatting to all them. And I was like, I'll queue again and leave them know I'm still here. I don't know what I was doing, but you know, my funerals and removals,
I know,
I get so nervous. I forget what I'd be saying. Like, I was like, I'll queue again. So I end up queuing for an hour to get back in to sympathise again.
Yeah.
And you know, with the boys, we stand up. So all your brothers and cousins and stuff are standing up. And the first thing they said is, what are you doing? Why are you back? And I was like, I don't know.
I saw you coming in and I was actually smiling when I saw you coming in. You were like, I'm so sorry, but I'd met you a few hours ago. I'm so sorry. I was like, thanks very much. But that, you know what? It's funny. Then there's some things in the few, the awkwardness in some bits of the way. Sure, I was hugging people I hadn't seen in years. I was hugging people that I'd say they were like, What is she? There's something wrong with this. As in, yeah. I was up and down. You're in so much shock and everything.
It's shock.
Do you know?
As you said earlier, it's an out of body experience.
It is.
Do you know? It's mad. Even when people were texting me, you said, I'm so sorry. Do you know? I'm so sad for you. And they want to text back, like, why are you sad? I still didn't register that my own dad had passed away. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
Why is this one texting me that now? Why is she sad? It's very strange. But no, he was. Oh my God. The
he was.
And
yeah.
The roads, and it was beautiful, and your brother done that eulogy and it was absolutely stunning. It was a lovely, lovely speech he done, and the way he all stood up there, I'd never seen that done.
Yeah,
he all just stood behind him.
That was my mom's idea.
Yeah, I love that. And your mom said a couple of words
that
she thanked everyone, and I just thought, I looked at her and I was like, what a woman.
Oh, your she's incredible.
Incredible.
She is. Oh, she's something else. And I see we're a family where we would always know how blessed we were, and I always knew how blessed I was. I would never, the one thing that we all said, like, we can't remember one crossword. There was nothing, like, we were laughing at stuff that, like, is in driving things. Like, do you know, did my brother say it, that he, like, my dad was after buying a brand new Jeep or something. He tore all the side of
it. That's right.
And like my dad's, I was there going, I said to them, I wrote off three of their vans, their work vans, three of them.
Yeah.
And there was never a word. It was like, look, wouldn't it be worse if you hurt your hand?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be worse? Always like that. And my mother. Yeah. And we can't remember any time that he raised his voice or anything. We've only wonderful, beautiful memories. And then someone said as well, may he rest in paradise. And I thought that was a lovely thing
to say. Yeah.
And then we'll celebrate him. But again, obviously I know it's the very early signs and people listening to this might be thinking, geez, it's very soon for her, whatever. But I need to resume as much normality as possible, especially with my head, Jewel, and the whole addiction thing and everything, because it's around now that, like, my sobriety and everything will have to, means more to me that now than ever. Not, like, I have to mind it more than ever.
Of course, yeah.
And I have gone back to a few AA meetings when I was at home and, you know, reaching out to people. And as well, I did my bit of exercise as well, because they're the two things now for my head.
Yeah.
I can't leave any of that slip
now. And your dad and my dad as well, they wouldn't want to us being in bed and, you know, crying and, you know, like, certainly my dad, I know, I'd be like, Julie, get off, like, get, I lived my life. And my dad and your own dad lived great lives, you know. And my dad be like, Julie, stop crying for me now, girl. You've done it over the funeral and over the couple of days. Now it's time to live your life as well, you know. And I think your dad was very similar as well.
Very, like, he'd be like, what's the wallowing about?
What's the face about?
You know, and he just always a positive man. Always, if the weather forecast looked rain for the day, he'd be like, it'll clear up later on.
Yeah.
It'll clear up later on. Always so optimistic. And if we were any bit kind of down or anything, like, he just was like, no, he just wouldn't allow it.
Mm.
He wouldn't allow it and stuff like that. But again, we've just some wonderful, beautiful memories. And like, as I said to you as well, the likes of you now, Sandra, I'm looking at other kind of friends and stuff like that, because when it first happened initially, I was like, but will it ever be okay? And will I ever laugh again?
Yeah.
Oh my God, because it was like, I was after getting my shit, we'll say, so much together. I was after getting my London dream. I was my celebrating 5 years sobriety. And then it was like, bang, like this awful, like horrific thing was after happening. And I was like, but will I ever be okay again? And I straight away was thinking of like the likes of you, Sandra, anyone who was after losing a dad,
mother.
And I'm like, well, she's okay. And then it's funny because inside the funeral home, I pointed it to my sister and it was like, life has changed, not ended. And I just struck a chord at me.
Yeah. And the priest actually at your dad's funeral, six of them, but one in particular, he spoke so well. He was like, you know, he's not gone. He just slid into the room next door and he'll wait. And I just thought that was so lovely.
Yeah.
It wasn't one bit morbid or anything. Your dad's funeral was actually a beautiful ceremony.
It's like a celebration.
It was more of a celebration than, no, even though your niece, Charlotte, she broke my heart. She sang. Oh my God. She's like a little tenor.
Yeah, she
is. She absolutely fabulous singer. I couldn't get over her. Could not get over her. And I had no tissue in my bag and I was sobbing.
What did you use?
So I rooted through my handbag and I was like, I have to find something. I had a pair of socks, I had a pair of Erin Rose's socks, and there were the socks with the frills.
Yeah.
And Sandra Murphy looked over at me and I was wiping my tears with the sock, and she just came over and was like, will you take the fucking tissue, woman?
So I think Sandra said that to me after, and I was like, oh my God. I said, typical Julie. Yeah, like, but you see, it's that kind of stuff as well. When I found out that after, I was giggling at that.
Yeah.
Do you know, because there's so many little things like that. And speaking of socks and stuff, my Winston, obsessed with socks. Winston is obsessed with socks, and especially my dad's socks, and he's going around the house now with my father's socks. But the thing is, right, I genuinely thought, right, would I be the type of person who'd never want to see a photo of him again?
Yeah.
You know, would it be too much for me? Would I be able to talk about him again? Would it be all too much? And like, I was even out, you know, looking at his overalls and stuff like that in the storehouse, and like, I thought now I wouldn't be able to look at them and stuff like that, but even the videos and stuff like that of him. But I'm looking at them all, and I love seeing Winston go around with his socks now.
Good, yeah.
I love it. I'm playing with him with the socks.
Yeah, and I think you said as well, you have a jumper in your suitcase, you've got to bring that back to London. Yeah,
you know,
I have a couple of things as well.
I know it's going to be a very long road, but as I say, like as we say in A, like one day at a time, like 1 hour at a time.
That's it.
1 hour at a time. Yeah. And I know I'm blessed with a beautiful family, and I always knew I was blessed with a beautiful family, and he will never ever be forgotten. And you know what as well, he's buried next to one of his best friends, he used to golf with all the time.
Yeah.
Tim Joe. And like the two of them are together now, and you know, it's just nice to see.
And it's so close to our house as well, which is a bit of a comfort as well. My dad is very close to my mom's house as well, and I love that.
Yeah.
Do you know?
And look, it's
gonna be a long road ahead of you, but you've me and I'm a couple of steps ahead of you.
Yeah.
And girl, as I said to you, and we'll get through it together.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, do you know what? Now, in the middle of it all, do you know there were so many numbers ringing you? So this UK number starts ringing me, right? In the middle of it all. So I had just emailed work going, you know, because I wasn't sure how much compassionate leave I had.
Mm.
So I answered and I was like, hello, debt collectors looking for money.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Another sign.
Yeah, Thames Water, £6 for my water bill. I couldn't believe it. I was like, because I was there, because my two of the editors had been on to it. And I must say as well, big shout out to my work colleagues being like so kind, so nice and everything. But I couldn't believe it. I was like, hello. And they were like, just looking for £6 off me. I couldn't believe it.
No, did
I
you tell them then that your dad had passed away? How did you say it?
I said, I'll have to ring you back. I didn't want to say it like that. I
couldn't. You know, actually, the day after my dad passed away during the night, and he was in palliative care, and Marymount, the hospice that were looking after my dad at the time, they rang my phone when the carers just to check in, see if everything was okay with my dad. And I couldn't get the words out that he had died or he'd passed away, whatever. So I said, he ran away.
Oh no.
My dad was up in the bed, a deathbed for 2 weeks. And she was like, excuse me. And I was like, you know what I mean? He's not in the house. And well, he is here, but he's not here. And she was like, Julie, I just don't understand what you're saying. And I was like, and she was like, okay, I understand.
She knew.
I couldn't get the words out.
Yeah.
Because it was my first time saying it out loud.
Yeah.
So he ran away. And she was like, excuse me.
Like, that was like the time I did an Irish oral, and I couldn't remember how I drove to school.
Yeah.
And I was in school in Tralee, and it was half an hour drive.
Yeah.
So it was like 25 miles. And then she was asking me in oral Irish, how'd you get to school? And I told her, Egg Ray, I ran to school every day. She was like, Egg Ray. I was like, yeah, Egg Tom, Egg Ray, Egg Ray. And she was looking at me right as I just couldn't remember. Egg Tom.
You and they're running, and even your brother said in the eulogy, first he said, so first he was like, oh, and my dad Dano was over London with Brenda last week, Brenda done the marathon, blah blah blah. And then he went on and was like, and also, can we also all follow Brenda's bits on Instagram? So the whole church just burst out laughing.
And I genuinely, because do you know when he wrote that eulogy, I'm not joking you, next to me. Talk about last minute, he'd be best pals with the two of us. He wrote that when he was sitting next to me before he went up, like us in the opera house doing our notes.
But my God, he was fabulous.
But you see, he does all that kind of pitching stuff for a living.
Yeah.
But like, he was like, and what do you think of this? And I goes, no, don't say that. Don't say that. And then he said it anyway. So no, he's great.
It was funny. It was funny.
No, it was.
Like, yeah.
And as well, actually, can we just talk about the marathon for a minute? Oh, now that we're here, that I have the time, right? Because do you know what's so funny? Do you know the way I have a free pass now today. Do you know the way I done the London Marathon without training? My dad did the Dublin Marathon 1982 without socks. So I mean, the apple doesn't fall. Yeah.
Just runners, like.
Well, runners, yeah, but no socks.
Oh, and he was crucified.
Yeah, I know. But like, that's the thing. We were laughing about that then the day we went for food, because he was like, oh, I'm going to do the London Marathon now. And then I said, I did one without training. And I said, and you did one without socks. And my mother was laughing. She was like, the two of you are so similar. Because he'd be a bit like that as well. He would have been kind of like, saying, fuck, it'll be great. Totally. Look, it'll be grand. Yeah. Fuck, it'll be grand.
What a man, though.
Do you know? Yeah. But I did get a PB on the day of the marathon as well. 8 minutes by 8 minutes.
I thought
13 minutes.
You said 13 minutes PB, and
it was 4:08.
I thought you were saying I went for a 13 minute piss break.
Oh, you did not.
I was like, why is she writing this?
You did
I thought
not.
PB. What the fuck do I know about marathons? PB, I thought your piss break. I was like, 13 minutes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were writing. I was like, what? But it was, yeah. So you've done your marathon. That was when? Marathon. That was last week, was it?
2 weeks ago, no. Yes, I'm going to do the Chicago one now in memory of my dad. I was always going to do it anyway, but it's for Dan, oh no. You're running for Dan. Oh, but listen, I'm not the only one who was getting fit. Where did you go the other day?
I joined.
You've gone all out. You tried to turn into me.
I did three gym classes now
next. I'm going to get a fringe now next year. Copy me on getting a fringe. Go,
so we just got a blow dry done there, right? When is Brenda's hair ever straight? So I asked for my blow dry. He was like, how do you want to dried, and I said straight please. Next time Brenda's next to me, I was like, surely she's going to say waves, because her hair is always wavy or always curly. I'll have mine straight as well. I was like, is your one?
He now said to me, your man Lee, he said you should leave. No, to be honest, he probably just didn't want to do the work after the waves. He was very good. Yeah. But I said straight away when he said straight, I said she's going to think I'm copying her. And then I had to tell you the news, because I couldn't have walked out then to you
with the like, straight hair, because you'd be looking at me.
Do you know the way people would do that? Do you know the way some people before? They'd buy the exact same thing as you, and they, do you know, they wouldn't say it. Yeah. I wouldn't mind, but as in, do you know if they brought the, if you were wearing this now next week, I'd be the type to say,
I couldn't wear that over the toilet.
I know, yeah. Because she's ages getting it off.
You obviously can't see, but Brenda's wearing a jumpsuit. Oh,
I know, it's fairly hard.
So she'd
going.
Have to pull it all down to go for a wee.
But you know what? The thing is, as well, when you do take it down, if there's a mirror in front of you, I was somewhere, I was going for a wee earlier.
Yeah.
And there was a mirror, I saw him, everything was out.
And imagine if I.
The door.
The door. Yeah. Your man walked in on me, and if is I had it? The whole thing pulled down. Nah.
And I said to you, and the hairdressers as well, and women will get this. Your man in the hairdresser's like, do you know where the toilet is? I goes, I do, yeah. And then I was going up the stairs because that was the office I was going to do. where did you go for your exercise? Sorry.
Oh, sorry. What were we talking? What's it called? Ski roll. Ski. No, it's not. It's a bike roll ski. Roll bike. I don't know what it's called.
Look, you went to that place in Douglas. Go on.
Oh, my God. So you do. So when Christine was telling me, I was like, what,
she got it?
Yeah, she went as
She went as well. Yeah.
Two of us. So she was like, basically, it's 12 minutes on a ski thing, 12 minutes pulling the strings. What's that thing called? Wait. No, it's not weights. You pull the strings down.
What do you think it is?
Skis.
Yes.
The skis. Ski. So I was rowing, 12 minutes doing the skis and 12 minutes on the bike. And I was like, easy. Easy. My good God. So when you get there, they give you a heart rate monitor. So I'd put that on around my arm. And then when you get into the classroom, you start working out. It's actually, there's like a flat screen in the room and it shows you your heart rate. Mine was spiking. I'm sure I fucking died and all twice. Like mine went red about 10 times. And also I wasn't doing it properly because, you know,
of course.
She kept off and coming over and be like, sit up a small bit. You know, when I was rowing, like I was putting my eyes practically lying down going back. And she's like, no, keep your back up. Like start, like sit up a bit more. I tell you now, the hardest class. And also the room was warm.
So warm. Did you, because I did it the other day, then I did it yesterday. Then
of course, because I'd done it. So I was on the phone to Brenda, telling her about the class I'd done, and obviously it was all over my Instagram, whatever. Next day, Brenda, I know you kept it very quiet, but you had to tell me then because you went with Pat Phelan. And Pat put up his Instagram as she arrived. She's like, I have something to tell you with her. I goes, what? I went to that class you went to yesterday. Of course I fucking did. Of course you did. Can I have anything?
I know, but is it a case, alright? Is it a case that if you start taking up running, you're copying me, is it? Because you might be doing a 5K soon.
See, I hate running.
I know, but look, you did that class.
And I wore the wrong bra. I wore it because I thought Norman it was going to be so easy. I was like, 12 minutes rowing, like 12 minutes on the bike. Like
The bra must have been dripping.
My boobs are falling out.
It would be with skiing especially.
What did you start on?
I started on the bike.
Oh, I was on the row.
The bike, yeah.
Row ski bike I done.
Yeah, I did it the normal way. I'm not going to say the name because that's one of the quiz questions.
Oh, so is the normal way to start on the bike?
I'm not going to say.
The bike was the hardest.
Look, if you did the class first, you should know because you're an expert in it. Might be an instructor next week.
But did the teacher tell you no, you were doing anything wrong or anything?
No, well, when I went in, she was giving me the heart monitor. I didn't know what was going on. Me and Karen were like, what are you on about? And Pat Feeling was just... Pat was celebrating his 250th class. Two donkeys, me and Karen, then were... Because as well, I drove up from Ballydesmond. Didn't know exact... My head now was bursting because didn't know the exact location. Had never been in there. Was meeting Karen, was meeting Pat. There was all new people. Had never been in the room. And I was straight... When I woke up and I was driving up, I was like, what the fuck am I going to this for? I'm never doing this to myself again. And then came out at 7 o'clock. Oh, I'm weak.
It's good class.
Bought 4 class pack. Me and Karen then. We're going out next Friday. We're booked in next Friday.
Are you?
Yeah, you should come with the twins.
What time is it?
6 a.m. We'll go to one Thursday week. You and I.
Yeah, because when I was telling Brenda, then I was going, she's like, I'd love to go to that just to watch you.
Yeah, just to watch you, probably be better. But if your heart is going up, Brent, that means you're really trying.
But did you have awards at the end of the class?
Yeah. Did you get one?
Oh, did you have the worst?
Well, I was
did
kind
you get
of...
one?
No, but I was kind of like... As in,
you were disappointed, I'd say.
I was a bit... Well, I was there kind of going, if Karen gets this, no. Over me. Like, as in, I was kind of... Because... I was looking at it kind of, and then a few other people.
But you're not meant to go into red.
You are meant to go into red.
You're not.
Are you not?
No, they say the awards were given out to the people that stayed in orange that weren't pushing themselves too hard weren't in the green that's like not pushing themselves. It's good to stay in the orange.
Who told you that now about the red? Are you sure?
But like.
The red is. The red that you're pushing yourself, Jewel.
Yeah, but I think my one said to me, if you go red now, calm down a small bit. The voice in my head.
I do know, because Pat was one of them, when Pat was in the red for most of it, so I don't know, you would. I don't think
that was
the concept.
The voice in my head said, calm down.
Look, it was
there,
good anyway. We'll go to it together and we'll see. Do you know what we'll do? We'll go together and see who gets a prize. If you get it over me, I swear to God, you're fucking
you'd actually
dead.
Start crying.
I'd actually get on over that now.
I'd say it, would I?
I actually would. But anyway, look, we'll go to from the crack together.
Oh, it was a brilliant class.
It was a great class.
I'd done a spinning class, you see, the day before, an hour. Oh, my legs were hanging.
You would be, of course.
I've done now for the
year.
You're
doing three classes. Did you do three classes this week?
Monday, I done weight class. Tuesday, spinning.
Oh, what was called the name of the weight class? Bear up or something, wasn't it?
Raise the bar.
What did you think it was? What did you say to me?
I said it could be a feckin' pole dancing class. I know what I was going into. I just knew I was booked into Raise the Bar. And I was driving to the class and I was like, Julie Haynes, what are you going into? This could be pole dancing the bar, like swinging around the bar. I was like, nah, have to go. So I went to that. That was actually very good as well. All weights, it's good training, you know.
Do you know when you hadn't been to the class, was your head not absolutely...
So I walked in there and like, you know me, I'm about 25 minutes early, especially to class because I'm nervous, you know, and I had to be at the back. And I went in there and there's a couple of girls setting up and like, you know, the way with weights, you get the bar and then you have to put a weight on either side of the bar.
Yeah.
And I was like, what if I don't know how to do that? And I got so nervous. So I walked in there and I seen there was a load of girls there and they all looked like they knew what they were doing. I was like, nah, I'm gone again, I'm leaving. But I seen a girl I know. So Pamela, so I went down and she spotted me. She's like, oh my God, Julie, how are you? So we ended up chatting away and she went to the class a couple of times. So she helped me. But if she wasn't there... I probably would have walked out again.
See, that's it. What is that embarrassment about? What's it about? And then I was in an AA meeting there yesterday in Cork and I was in a room I hadn't been in ages and I couldn't go to the toilet. I couldn't. And I was I nearly weed myself in the car going home. I couldn't go because I was like, your man was there sharing some story and I hadn't been into that toilet and I would rather wee myself rather than have gotten up. Why do we do it?
What are we like?
Why do we do it?
I know, I get it.
We think that everyone's watched. Do you think there's anyone thinking about me going to the toilet in that AA meeting? No.
No one cares.
What do we... It's like me going up the stairs earlier.
Or if somebody went to the dressers. If somebody went to the toilet in the AA meeting, you wouldn't have took a fucking tack
about it. No, I'm not thinking about it.
Yeah, I know. And then I went to the spinning class then. That was an hour then. And you know, did you ever go to spinning class?
Of course I do. What kind of question is that?
So your man anyway, off the intensity. I was like, fuck off. I was putting it down. I was putting my hand over the knob yoke and I was like turning it over. I was pretending I was putting it up. Look at this. And he was like push through it out. I was like driving fucking Miss Daisy next to him. All I was short was like a little basket and a bell on my bike. I was like, nah, I'm not putting up. I can't do that to myself. I'll take a break now for 3 weeks and I'll go back again.
And then come here. Do you see the thing is, how was your eating this week then?
Come here, actually. I downloaded a new app. It's
here
I go again. Brilliant to download all the apps. And then I'd be flat out in the apps there for a week. What's it called again? Lucy.
Oh, hold on. Can I just say you did it with the Percy Pigs today?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Talk about
So, eating. In fairness, so I'm going to say this before you do say anything. As you have been an amazing friend this week, especially.
Go
Would
on.
You ever just leave me say it?
All right.
You have been an amazing friend. For someone to offer to want to fly over to Dubai and come back, like, that's amazing. You have been amazing. You have. You really, really
I
have.
Sure I, was
I know, but look, there's something cute you did anyway today. So I love Percy Pigs. I love Percy Pigs. So as we were driving up today anyway, she says, oh, come here. She's got to have something here for you now. And I was like thinking, I don't know what it was. Do you know what I mean? Could be anything but you. And then she goes, I got you these. And I could see like the Percy Pigs head. And then she was like, but they're open there. Yeah, I'd opened them already. And she just passed them over to her. I was like, thanks. So she would actually had opened the Percy Pigs.
I bought you two packets.
Yeah.
The day I ordered all the sandwiches and the cakes, whatever. I was like, get her the Percy Pigs now for herself. And obviously the sandwiches, whatever, for the table. But I was going to give you the Percy Pigs, like, put them into your room now or whatever. And I'd say I was driving down to Ballydesmond, I got one full pack. And then I was like, I'll keep the other pack now. So I left them in the car, I forgot about them. They was like, mind them now for today or whatever, whenever I see you. And I opened them.
You opened them, yeah. But I thought it was hilarious.
I had two.
I know. And I posted them on Instagram. I was like, oh, was that the twins? Was that the twins? I was like, no, it was actually Julie.
Yeah.
It was actually Julie. But go on, tell me about your app.
Oh, yeah. What's it called again? Lose It. So, yeah, Lose It. It's just the app now of the week I'm using this week. So I'm calorie counting again.
Oh, brilliant. What happened to my fitness pal?
I gave up on that.
Why? Was it not working for you? Like I said,
I wasn't losing the weight. It's not my fault. It's not all the takeaways. It's the app. So I gave up on that. Then I went to another one. It was called NutriCheck now or something like that. I gave up on that then as well. Now I found Lose It. It's called.
Isn't it a gas the way? Like you'll do so many diets as well. Like that doesn't work at all. You're just not working.
But you blame everyone and anything.
I'm guilty of it as well. I'm like, that class doesn't work at all.
Shocking. It means I know I'm stuffing my face with a black bean sauce from the Chinese, like, you know.
But it'll come. It'll come.
Yeah, sure.
Are you weighing yourself stuff and still?
No, I didn't weigh myself now all week because I'm on my Auntie Mary's now as well.
But you're better off as well because you weigh yourself one day and you're up.
See, that's it, like, you know, I'll weigh myself now the day this is gone.
And then actually speaking of all that stuff as well, when we were actually going to Dubai, I was dreading putting on the bikinis and everything because I just didn't feel it.
And I was dreading going with you then because you have a fabulous figure.
Oh, no, I wasn't. But then it's like, came home to Ballydesmond. Obviously, I came straight from Dubai. What did I come home to Ballydesmond with? A load of bikinis.
I know, yeah. She rang me. She's like, Julie, you're going to have to get me an outfit or something. Otherwise, I'd be going to my dad's own funeral in a bikini.
Yeah,
I was
bikini.
Like, Jesus Christ, I'll
run up pennies. It was all summer stuff and everything.
Yeah, I know.
All summer. But you know what, as well? I actually went up to Zara, actually, because, you know what? I was there going to get something nice now for this as well. And she got lovers. People were looking at me buying the black. I felt bad on them because they were looking at me buying the black clothes and they knew me from the podcast, Like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, I'm buying clothes. You know what I mean? And sure, I was crying. But you know what as well, for anyone listening, all the kindness of people who did come up to me when I was shopping and stuff like that. You know, well, not exactly shopping, but you know, it was lovely. Like these total strangers. I think as well, when you lose someone like that as well, or any, you really see the community. I know your dad's funeral was different now as well because of COVID.
Yeah.
But you really see the kindness of strangers and neighbours and
do.
Also.
And even comments on Instagram or DMs on Instagram.
Oh.
It carried us, all of myself and my whole family, through those hardest weeks and months that followed. You know, it's unbelievable the community we have both built up. And it really, really does mean the world to both of us. Like,
unbelievable. And actually, on the RIP.ie, the notices. I didn't go reading it, but a lot of people were commenting going, did you see the notices, podcast listeners?
There's
a lot of podcast listeners on commenting on RIP.ie.
Yeah.
And as well, do you know what? One other thing before we finish up as well. Obviously, my dad is gone and stuff like that. But actually, there's, and I think I said this to you, but the other stuff, that stuff like this brings into your life too. There's one of my, she was like probably my best friend in school, national school. And we haven't spoken properly in years just because, you know, things happen, whatever. And it's not necessarily anything kind of dramatised happened. But I think as well, in like when I was 24, 25, going through my addiction, as I said on the podcast, I was probably bitter seeing all my other school friends, you know, they were getting married, they were building houses, they did all their jobs, and I probably felt bitter. But that girl, she was one of the first people who texted me when my dad died because her father was going through the village and he saw like the girls. But I'm actually going meeting her next Friday and we haven't like had a proper chat. I'm not sure for around 15 years.
Wild, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean? And like it's weird because I was like, I've wanted to reach out to her several times, but I couldn't do it. Like I wanted to just finally sit down because I have such amazing memories of her growing up.
Yeah,
so I get emotional thinking about it because I'm like, that was my dad, because her dad and my dad were friends.
Yeah.
Do you know? Yeah. And then I was shitting at asking her, look, I'd love to meet you for a coffee. And straight out, she's like, no problem. So meeting her next Friday.
Oh, that's so, do you know? So
and then
lovely.
There were so many other old friends as well when I was seeing them come. I think when I was waiting there with people coming in, I was like, oh my God, it just, you, the familiarity and then it's the lovely. Community coming together.
Yeah, it's lovely.
How much
yeah.
it helped, you know?
I know. And like, obviously, we didn't have a funeral like your own dad's because my dad passed away through COVID. So, but what my friends done was, there was only six of us allowed into the church, but a lot of my friends, what they'd done is they drove up separately and they all sat in their cars outside, so we weren't allowed to shoulder my dad's coffin or anything like that. So when we came out after my dad's coffin, I seen all the different cars. Now, they weren't allowed to be together either, but they were all just sitting in the car each, and it was so, so lovely. And like, they couldn't get out and they couldn't hug me, and that actually was really, really hard, looking at my friends hysterical crying in a car and being like, I really want to get out and hug you, Julie, but I can't. And I was just standing there waving. It's fucking horrific, like, as well.
That's
like,
traumatising.
It was traumatising. Like, you know, couldn't shoulder his coffin, couldn't go for a sandwich or a cup of tea after. I just had to go home and sit there and just fucking wait for this pandemic to be over.
And then did you feel that you hadn't your mourning? A lot of people say, oh, you don't have your mourning done.
It's like you're not grief. Proper closure, yeah. or something like that. You know, like, we couldn't give him a proper funeral, you know. We couldn't give him a proper, like, nobody could shake our hands. Nobody could hug us. Nobody, like, we couldn't do the normal things mm-hmm. where, like, everyone wants a hug. Everyone wants a handshake. Like, you know, we couldn't do anything like that. Like, you know, oh, it was awful. It was awful. But look, we got through it in the end.
Yeah.
Do you know?
And he'll never be forgotten either.
Nah.
Never. No, what a man. What, do you know
two
what?
Two legends.
We'll dedicate this episode to the two of them.
Yeah.
And do you know what? They would have been good pals. They would have had a laugh.
I know.
Yeah.
And do you know what? And I said to you recently, it was like, they don't make them like our dads anymore.
No.
Old stock.
No. And I know everyone's like, oh, my dad's the best dad. But like, I know, and you know, like, your dad was amazing. My dad was incredible. Like, yeah. we all say our dad was our hero.
Yeah.
You know, and we'd celebrate them and everything, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So, to our dads.
To Michael and to Dana.
Yeah, that's it.